Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the third to last Sunday of the church year. It's a time of year when we focus on the end times. Now, the book of the Bible that focuses most on the end times is the book of Revelation. So our sermon series for the next 3 weeks, we'll talk a lot about the book of Revelation. Now, many people are puzzled when they read the book of Revelation. There's lots of symbolism, lots of imagery, lots of numbers. But when we talk about Revelation, we need to keep the main theme in mind. And the main theme of Revelation is this, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is coming again to rescue his people. Revelation is a book of hope. Now, the book of Revelation is also about a war. And lots of people misinterpret that because they think it's about political war. But this book is not about World War III. It's not about China fighting the U.S. or Russia fighting against Israel. It's not a political book, it's a spiritual book. And the war described in Revelation is not a political war, it is a spiritual war, the ultimate war, the war between God and Satan, the war between the church and the world, the war between good and evil. And Revelation gives us the overview, the big picture of this war, how it started, how it impacts our life today, and most importantly, who's going to win. But let's first talk about how it started. And that's described in our first reading today, Revelation 12. Revelation 12, 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Like I said, the Great War is a spiritual war. And it started when the dragon, Satan, started a rebellion against God. Notice, the dragon, Satan, fought against Michael and his angels. Notice the opposite of Satan is not God. It is the archangel Michael. There is no opposite to God. God alone is eternal. God alone is omniscient. God alone is omnipotent. God alone is omnipresent. Satan is none of those things. He's a powerful angel, but he's not God. Only God is God. So the opposite of Satan is Michael the archangel. Michael is the leader of God's angelic armies who protect us. Satan and his angels, who are called demons, fights against Michael, but they are not strong enough. And they lose. Satan is cast out of heaven. Satan and all his evil angels with him. But notice where they are thrown to. Revelation 12, 12. Woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Notice, he's not thrown into hell. The picture of Satan ruling in hell with a pitchfork and tail is not a biblical picture. It's completely inaccurate. Satan is not in hell. The Bible describes him as being here on earth with us. One day he will be cast into hell, into the lake of fire, and that's the end of the book of Revelation. He will be cast in the lake of fire at the final judgment, he and all his demons, not to rule, but to suffer just punishment for all of his sins, and he is not looking forward to that. Satan doesn't want to go to hell any more than you or I would want to. Satan's demons are here on earth, and in John 14, verse 30, Jesus calls him the prince of this world. So obviously he is still powerful, he is still influential, he is still at war with God. It is here on earth that Satan found allies. He dupes two human beings, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, to join him in his insane war against God. In the worst decision of all time, Adam and Eve joined him in the rebellion against God, which means all humanity joined with Satan against God. That is why we call ourselves naturally enemies of God. We are allies of Satan and enemies of God by nature. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Why? To rescue us and save us from the power of the devil. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus defeated the devil and rescued us from bondage to him. Those who have faith in Christ have been rescued and given everlasting life. And now we are no longer God's enemies, but friends of God, part of his very own family, sons and daughters of the King. And we are also his warriors, called to join in this war and fight against the devil, the world, and the power of sin. We are part of God's army. And that army is called the church. Like a mighty army, moves the church of God. Onward, Christian soldiers. So that's right, we're in a war. And that war is described in the book of Revelation. It's not a physical war, it's not a political war, it's a spiritual war. So if we're in a spiritual war, we need to be able to fight against our spiritual enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. And to fight a spiritual war, we need spiritual weapons. And that's number two. The great war is fought with spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons are not guns and bombs. They are not AK-47s and F-22 Raptors. Those are the weapons of the world. That's not how we defeat the devil. Spiritual weapons are words. Words have power. Words literally change people's hearts, people's minds, and people's lives. For example, two little words I do said at the right time to the right person will completely change your life for the better. That's the blessing of marriage, right? Words are powerful, and the devil knows that really well. In his war on the church and God's army, he uses words to accomplish his purpose. What is the devil's purpose? His purpose is summarized by Jesus in John 10:10. His purpose is threefold. The thief, the devil, comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's what he does. That's his game plan, SKD. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what the devil does. Now, Jesus, in that same verse, John 10, verse 10, Jesus also states his purpose. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. What an amazing statement. What a beautiful statement. That's exactly what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has given us a wonderful, abundant, and eternal life. Now, the devil wants to steal, kill, destroy, and so he uses spiritual weapons. The spiritual weapons he uses are lies. When he lies, he speaks his own native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He doesn't care what people say or what people believe as long as it's not the truth. And through his lies, he destroys people, he destroys their bodies, their relationships, and their souls. You've seen that happen. People who are destroyed by believing a lie, lies like, money's going to make me happy someday, or no one will ever find out, or one more drink won't hurt anything, or it doesn't matter what you believe, all paths lead to heaven. Lies are powerful, and the devil uses them to destroy our bodies, our relationships, and our souls, because that's what he does. He steals, kills, and destroys. There's only one thing in this universe that is powerful enough to overcome a lie, and that is the truth of God's word, the Bible. Jesus says, John 8:32, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is true. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. John 6, verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. God's word is true, and God's word gives life, life everlasting. And God's word is the only weapon we have to stand up against the devil. But don't worry, it's the only weapon we have because it's the only weapon we need. Ephesians 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. We need to be armed with the word of God and be trained in using the word of God so that we can take our stand against the devil. We need to be strong, not in ourselves, but strong in the Lord. That's number three. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. To be strong in the Lord means to put on the full armor of God, to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, setting your mind on things above and not on earthly things, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. To be strong in the Lord happens through word and sacrament. I want to congratulate you on being here today to listening to God's word today, because as you listen and meditate on God's word, it is making you stronger in the Lord. The devil hates it when you go to church. When you go to the Bible in Sunday school, he hates that too, because you're being trained to use God's word, just like 2 Timothy 2 tells us. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. When you have your daily devotions, the devil hates that too, because in your devotions, the Holy Spirit is making you stronger in the Lord and in your faith, so that you can withstand and overcome the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. To be strong in the Lord means to be in God's word, period. That's where the Holy Spirit works. That's where he strengthens you, arms you, and encourages you. It's there in his word that God gives you courage. As the Lord told Joshua, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Because God is with us, we can always be strong and courageous. Even when the devil attacks, or the world tries to conform us to its will, or old sinful nature tries to tempt us, we can be strong and courageous through the power of God's word, because the Lord our God is with us, and because we know the victory is already won. That's part four. The victory is already won. Although we fight in this battle, the outcome has already been decided. Although we fight in this battle, we know the victory has already been won. And although we fight in this battle, we know the battle belongs to the Lord. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason Jesus Christ came into this world was to destroy the works of the devil, and that's exactly what Jesus did. Through his sacrificial death on the cross, he paid the price so that our sins might be completely forgiven. No longer can the accuser, Satan, accuse us and threaten us. Our forgiveness has been assured by the cross of Jesus Christ. And through his glorious resurrection, Jesus has defeated all of our enemies. The devil is defeated. The world is defeated. The sinful nature is defeated. And yes, even death itself is defeated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has won the victory and given us the crown. The crown of victory. The crown of life. That's why Paul writes in Romans, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In Christ, we are not just victors, we are conquerors. In Christ, we are not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. I don't think that English translation does the Greek word justice. Now, my favorite Greek word, you know, is phlegmizomai, gut-wrenching compassion, which I've already talked a lot about. But my second favorite Greek word is here in Romans 8:38, and that is hypernikeia. First part of that word is hyper, which you recognize as abundant, overwhelming, or super. The second part of that word is Nike, which I think you might recognize as Michael Jordan's shoe company. The word Nike is the Greek word for victory. So when the Bible says we are hypernikeia, it means we are literally hyper victorious, super victorious. In other words, in Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are not just victors. We are not just conquerors. We are super conquerors. We are super conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.